there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com, type in This Show Is So Gay. You will find us there and click follow. And of course, go to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. I am joined once again by Becca.
I'm back.
Now, see, here's the thing. I was not worried about you coming back the second time, but in doing some historical research on the show, it's not the second time that's the problem. It's the third time. They usually drop off after the second time.
I thought third time was a charm.
Yeah, not so much for the gay radio show. Not at all.
Well, you got one more time. We'll see how this goes.
And this is kind of an epic one, because normally we would have a guest. I would be introducing a guest right now, but you were witness to all the technical difficulties here.
We are having some phone issues.
Yes.
At the 6110.
We are coming at you on a undescribed night of the week. We will not label it, but we are here in the attic of 6110 Fir Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. Come visit us. But write to us first. Don't just drop by. We don't like that.
That'd be fine.
So next week, on next week's show, we will have singer-songwriter Billy Myers, who penned that classic song, Kiss the Rain, which I love that song.
Everyone loves that song.
Everyone loves that song. But
I want to karaoke really bad right now.
You and I have never karaoke together.
Yeah, we need to go hit a Peanuts nightclub right around the corner.
I would love it. What's your go-to song?
This is why I'm single.
So, because it's radio, you can't all see that she just put her head in her hand. So I'm really excited to hear what it's going to be.
The last time I went for karaoke, I did a rousing rendition of Herman Hermit's Henry VIII.
Okay. Do you know, I only know that song from when Patrick Swayze does it in Ghost.
Henry VIII, though, I am. That one, you know it. You gotta do it in the accent, too, or it's really not authentic.
If you are a single straight man in the Cleveland area, please send me a line at ken@thisshowissogay.com.
Wink, wink.
You will go to karaoke with Becca, and I will chaperone, and that's how this works. So, Billy Myers, she was supposed to be on the show this week. It is National Mental Health Awareness Week, and Billy has been so amazing in talking about her struggles with depression and advocating for folks with mental illnesses and advocating for all of us to be more informed. So, she will be on next week's show when hopefully we get the phone line fixed tomorrow morning.
Fingers crossed. If the stars align, fingers crossed, that will be resolved.
Good times.
We'll
good
see.
Times.
We'll see.
So that means that this episode is all about you and I talking about the news, which is great because there's a lot to catch up on.
So much. But let's dig into it.
I'm not sure I even told you how much it is that we have to do. So the name of the game for this week, and I almost hesitate to talk about it because marriage equality is literally changing by the minute, and actually changing by the minute. But let's talk generally. Have you been to a gay wedding before?
You know, I haven't attended one. I certainly have friends that are married, but I have never actually attended a union.
I have not either.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to one, but they canceled it the week before.
Right. Well, the thing is, the reason why I feel like my friends that live here in Ohio have gone out of state to get married, and then, you know, I haven't been out of state to the wedding.
Have you catered any type of union?
No, not here in Ohio.
Not here in Ohio.
Not here in Ohio.
I will say there was a story on last week's show that I wanted you here for, but I was in a hotel in Chicago and you were here at 6110, where they had this conservative values summit. I don't know what it's called. It's for conservative people who hate gay people. It's on their badges to get in. And so they had the baker lady who was crying. She was on a panel and she was hysterically crying because she had to go out of business. Because she refused to serve a lesbian couple. She refused to cater their wedding. And so they threatened a lawsuit and she had to go out of business because she didn't have the money to defend herself in a lawsuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though legally she was wrong and she was crying. I should play the clip, but I'm not because it's a little depressing. And saying, oh, as a caterer, I love talking to brides. And so that's all I really want to do. But just, you know, not the lesbian ones.
Just not them. Well, you know, you shoot yourself in the foot sometimes. I mean, what can I feel for her that her business is out, but I don't because she kind of dug her own grave there.
I don't want to idealize or corporatize what it is that you do, but I would imagine it's somewhere in the middle, like that you think about the people that you're making things for. But then there's also the part where it is a business.
Sure, sure. I mean, if we're going to be fair, everyone has their own feelings
right.
on things. I personally, like, for example, if the KKK came to me and said, hey, we need desserts for a rally. We really, every rally we have cupcakes. Can you supply us cupcakes? Yeah. I'd be like, actually, no, I can't do
you
that.
You could make
for
a
you.
White sheet cake.
I
see what I did
I
there,
feel
folks?
Like I can, I could not do that.
Yeah.
So everyone has the right to make their own decisions. As a business owner, you can pick and choose. It's not necessarily wise, but you certainly can. If she chose to make that decision, and
but there are repercussions.
There are repercussions, and that is why she's no longer in business.
Yeah, I think you just lost all future KKK orders, which I'm a little bit worried about.
I mean, the white supremacists are knocking down my door to get desserts, and I'm like, guys, not this week. Come on, we discussed this.
If you are in the KKK, please go to 6220 Fir Avenue. That's the alternate address where you should go. White sheet cake, get it? See what I did there?
I see what you
did
there.
Yeah,
that's
like it's like a cake. So it's all about marriage equality this week. So the Supreme Court, I mean, really, we are halfway through the week. We won't say what day, but it's changed every day since we've started this week. On Monday, the Supreme Court denied the review of 7 petitions challenging same-sex marriage bans, which will lead to marriage equality in Indiana, Oklahoma, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Utah. And then there's the part where it's a little bit confusing because they were appealing to the Supreme Court, and they were appealing on behalf of districts, and some of the districts cover neighboring states, not just the states that were appealing. So it's just very much a landslide of gay marriage victories. Now, some in the gay community are very upset about the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court did not make a declarative statement about gay marriage. They just declined to hear the cases, whereas the Supreme Court could have, I mean, they very much didn't, stood up and said gay marriage is the law of the land for everybody.
Sure.
But by declining to hear these cases, we have like another 10 states now that
will
have marriage equality.
Do you have any thoughts on why? I mean, I'm certainly no government official. I don't know the ins and outs of the system, but do you have any thoughts on why that might be?
Why they declined to hear the cases?
Yeah, to even hear them.
Yeah, you know, I think that we're very torn right now whether this is a state-by-state issue or whether this is a federal issue.
Sure.
And so the Supreme Court denying to hear these cases was essentially saying this is a state-by-state issue.
Mm-hmm.
They could go the next step and say, as they did when they declared the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional last summer, they could say, you know what, this is a federal policy, and federally you cannot discriminate in this way.
Mm-hmm.
But they stopped short this time. And there are other states now that have appeals that will again go to the Supreme Court. So the question is going to be whether the Supreme Court declines to hear more cases and effectively says gay marriage for everybody, or at least in the states that are applying or appealing, or whether they're going to make more of a federal comment. Unfortunately, Ohio, not one of the states really in the mix right now.
Not yet.
Oklahoma. But not Ohio.
Who would have thought?
Right?
Who would have thought?
Speaking of Oklahoma, this is the governor of Oklahoma. This is Governor Mary Fallon. She released a statement following the Supreme Court's decision to reject the appeal of these lower court rulings. This is what she said, quote, "This is the governor of the state of Oklahoma."
Okay.
Okay?
Let's hear
so
it.
Let's role play. We live in Oklahoma.
Here we are, y'all.
I'm gay.
Okay.
You're an ally.
Right.
This is what our governor has said, quote, "The people of Oklahoma..." So we're thinking right there, hey, she's talking for us because we are the people of Oklahoma.
Sure.
"The people of Oklahoma have the right to determine how marriage is defined. In 2004, Oklahomans exercised that right, voting by a margin of 3-1 to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. The will of the people," that's us, "has now been overridden by unelected federal justices accountable to no one. That is both undemocratic and a violation of states' rights. Rather than allowing states to make their own policies that reflect the values and views of their residents, federal judges have inserted themselves into a state issue to pursue their own agendas." So obviously at this point, she's not so for this decision, but then she keeps going. She goes on to say, quote, "Today's decision has been cast by the media as a victory for gay rights. What has been ignored, however, is the right of Oklahomans and Americans in every state to write their own laws and govern themselves as they see fit. Those rights have once again been trampled by an arrogant, out-of-control federal government that wants to substitute Oklahoma values with Washington, D.C. values." I would just like to put out there, if you are gay or you are an ally living in Oklahoma, you should move, because she is flat out saying that the rights of Oklahomans, it's a fun phrase, that those values are antithetical to marriage equality.
Yeah, that's what she summed up pretty much there.
Yeah.
Here's my message to Oklahoma. Oklahomos, unite and get out of the state.
Right?
Yeah.
I was going to say come here to Ohio, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Becca will cater your wedding.
I saw South Carolina just,
oh yeah,
you know, passed, so, you know. Get elsewhere.
Crazy.
Out of there.
Our buddy Eric Hyman, one of our oldest and truest guests on this show, singer-songwriter Eric Hyman, who I got to meet at the Gay Games. I'd never met him before. He's been on the show 8-9 times.
Oh, wow.
He had a great response. He lives in Oklahoma with his husband, just saying, hey, can you not speak for all of us? Because there are some gays that live in this state. That is Governor Mary Fallon. There's so much other marriage equality stuff. There's fun marriage equality stuff. Senator Mark Warner, who's a Democrat in the state of Virginia, he this past weekend referred to marriage equality as, quote, economically the right thing to do.
Oh.
He was attending a Pride festival in Northern Virginia when he made the comments. He said, quote, companies want to be in location where there's not discriminatory practices.
That is so true.
Right?
That is so true. Absolutely.
In Florida, they had a story a few months ago where they did some research that if Florida approves marriage equality, the boon to the Florida economy would be insane.
I can only imagine. Yeah, absolutely. It's that, what's that, how does that saying go? Rising tide
lifts all boats.
Yeah.
Caterers.
Caterers.
Just the
big
caterers.
Companies.
Your people.
Right.
Is there a caterers union?
If there is, I haven't heard of it yet.
I don't want to establish. Becca is the scab for the caterers union. That would be terrible. So that happened on Monday, the Supreme Court piece. But then just yesterday on Tuesday, even though I said I wasn't going to say what day it was, the uncertainty over gay marriage, it now spread across the West. Oh, actually, it was just today on Wednesday because the Supreme Court allowed same-sex couples in Nevada to exchange vows but blocked those in Idaho from doing the same thing. It's just so confusing.
It is very confusing. I can't quite follow.
The decision marks the latest twist in the national drama unfolding over the issue as more states see same-sex unions made legal and others fight such a change. It's crazy. The people who fight, they fight hard, too. Mm-hmm. They fight hard to not have gay marriage. So technically, we're at 35 states.
Hey, chipping away.
We are chipping away.
Uh-huh.
We are chipping away. So there was that story. And then I think there was one more story about marriage equality that I wanted to throw out there that was a little bit nutty. And I'm not going to be able to find it right now, but it was about a mother who, and of course she got a lot of media praise and a lot of media attention from conservative elements and mainstream because it was such a unique story, where her son was married in some state, and she filed a brief saying, I'm anti-gay marriage, and her word carries more weight because her son was gay, and he died.
Oh.
It's the weirdest story, so I'm not even going to cover that one. But that was that one.
Yeah.
Anything else on marriage equality? I want to go. Can we go crash like a gay wedding?
Oh, my gosh. Wedding Crashers.
I've never seen that movie.
First of all, you got to do that.
Okay.
And then you and I need to team up and go crash a really great gay wedding. If the stars align and things work out, they'll have karaoke and we can do Herman's Hermit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you have a backup song?
Kiss the Rain, I think, might have to be the
rain.
One. Yeah.
We will do it. We will do it. All right, that's it for our marriage equality segment. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with more news.
Go, 'cause I don't have it. When will I have it? And it goes.
All right, folks, and we are back. I'm Ken.
I'm Becca.
And here we are. First, we want to give a shout-out to our newest station, WBWC, which is the Baldwin-Wallace College, actually Baldwin-Wallace University now, radio station. They are in Berea, Ohio. They are a terrestrial station. You can hear them for miles and miles around. It's not just a college station, though. It's a lot of college students who run the station, and it is totally student-run. But we're thrilled. They approached us and they wanted us on WBWC, and you're going to be listening to us there, as you probably are right now, from 9 to 10 in the mornings on Mondays.
What a time.
Hey, what you doing from 9 to 10 in the morning on Monday? Oh, I'm listening to the gay radio show. Because, you know, that's our niche audience, is college students between 9 and 10 a.m. on Mondays.
Oh, really?
I think that's our target.
I think that's what we need to shoot for. Yeah. Now that makes sense. I mean, if you're in college, you're rolling out of bed about that time.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Hey, how are you going to start the week? Oh, I'm going to listen to the gay radio show by the gay professor.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
Totally. Totally. Okay, so this is, are we ready for personal story time?
Let's hear it.
This is personal story time.
Yeah.
Now, you already know this story,
okay,
but we're going to reflect on it in a different way.
Okay.
And so we're up in the attic. Jack the Cat has now joined us. People don't know. Like, that's Jack the Cat. He's real.
He is for real. He just meowed. I don't know if it picked up or not, but he heard personal stories, and he's got stories to tell.
He's got stories to tell. I would like to, again, remind people, as I've said before, that my cat often does not speak until I hit record, and then he does not, as he just did, he does not shut the heck up. So my cat is a bit of an attention whore, and he likes the gay radio show, and so I just want to put that out there. Okay, so let me speak about this in generalities, and then you will tell me if I'm being an idiot about this.
Oh.
It's a lot of pressure.
Pressure situation.
I know. You can tell me if I'm being an idiot.
Okay, I'll be honest with you.
I'll, like, you pay rent to me. Okay, so, yes, your answer. Rent could go up, dependent on your answer. So, inadvertently last week, there was a little bit of a brouhaha in my professional situation where I unfortunately read an email that was not meant for me, but it had an observation about me that perhaps was not the most positive.
Okay.
That's fairly put, right?
I think so. Yeah. Sums it up.
And it was an accident, and it was very short. It was just a couple words, and not that big of a deal, but it wasn't the most positive. Like, it wasn't Ken Rocks,
you
know?
It doesn't take a lot of words to be hurtful, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This one took four.
Yeah.
So, now, it had absolutely nothing to do with my sexual orientation.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
Not at all.
The person who wrote the email does identify as gay and is one of the only other out gay people at my place of work.
Okay.
And because of that, I actually felt more hurt by it. And I've been going back and forth over this over the past couple of days, because there's that part of me that feels like, well, wait a second. First of all, it just wasn't nice, and that's all that should matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back to the other side, yeah, but it's one of the only other gay people, so that kind of stinks.
Sure.
But then I jump back over to the other side. Well, it's not like gay people have to be supportive of each other. It's not like women have to be supportive of each other.
Yeah.
But I keep going back to the woman piece and all the conversations we often have about, yeah, but when a woman cuts another woman down, that sucks.
That's
but I
so
don't know.
Common. Women are known for being catty.
No.
Oh, you know what? What she said, because I do know what the email said, and it was hurtful.
It wasn't nice.
It wasn't a nice thing to say. It had nothing to do with sexuality.
Nothing.
And I think because of that reason, you can take that completely off the table and just have it be two colleagues who, you know, something was said, and I feel like it was resolved fairly well. Don't you?
Yes.
You expressed your discomfort.
I did.
And
my mortification and embarrassment.
And you did it in a graceful way.
Yes, I caused guilt. Yeah, no, totally. It's totally shame-based. I'm all over it.
So you smeared her with shame.
Yes.
Okay, and then you sent her on her merry way.
Or as I like to call it, Judaism. Yes, go ahead.
So you got real Jewy on her.
Got real Jewy on her, yes.
And I feel like it's resolved. You know, I feel like she checked herself. I don't know that she necessarily will be saying anything about you again, because she now knows.
I don't think she's ever going to send another email for the rest of her life.
Her computer has been thrown out the window, I think.
But here's the thing. Let me complicate this further. So I did my shame-based email, as my mother would do. And we'll talk about my mom in a second,
because
now you have experience with my mom now. So I sent the email, and I didn't reference sexual orientation even in the least.
Sure.
When she wrote back, she did.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote back and said, I do want to highlight that I was so excited that when they hired you, because there would be someone teaching LGBT studies,
mm-hmm.
and in parentheses it said, and there'd be another out person on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, in some ways that hurt even more, because it's like, wait, you are acknowledging that we're two gay people.
But does that mean that she has to personally like you?
Yes.
It doesn't.
I think and it might.
I will also say that not everyone has to like you. I happen to find you charming and handsome and wonderful. And I'm not just saying that because I pay you rent. But the fact of the matter is, there are people who don't like me and there are people who don't like you. And that's the way life works. And I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. And, you know, we have these interactions so infrequently because you and I are just effervescent, wonderful people to be around.
And modest. You forgot modest.
Of course, the number one thing is modest. But you know what? That's life. Some people aren't going to...
I'm not sold. I'm not sold. And usually I can move past stuff like this. And I'm past the incident.
Yeah.
I'm more on the topic of, for some reason, it hurt more deeply because it came from another gay person in a community where there's not that many out gay people. And I had that moment of, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stick together. We can't actually cut each other down to the straight
right.
people.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so there's that.
Those people.
The breeders. I just felt like that was, you know, that hurt a little bit more, too. Of like, oh... We have to support each other, and
mm-hmm.
just because there are so few of us, and I think women should be supportive of each other, I guess maybe the difference in that context is, you know, women are not the minority on campus,
sure.
but certainly with regards to power, of course they are.
Sure.
But I don't know.
But don't you also feel like resolving conflicts with people with whom you have interpersonal relationships, you have conflicts to resolve them, and it can make you respect each other more and kind of build the relationship and grow it. So maybe this is a good thing.
Yeah, no, ultimately it might be. I'm just saying it hurt more because she's gay and I'm gay. I don't
well,
know.
I can't change your mind about that.
I would like to let go of that piece, but I'm stuck on it. And I'm trying to think of stories in the news of, and I try really hard not to even bash the log cabin Republicans, the gay Republicans,
mm-hmm.
for whom I, you know, have no understanding whatsoever.
Sure.
Particularly because I'm telling you, log cabin Republicans, your party hates you. They just said it again last week. They don't think that you're good. They don't get you at all. You really should change parties. That said, that's not me bashing the log cabin Republicans. That's me bashing the rest of the Republicans. So my advice to my brother and sister log cabin Republicans, change parties. So there's that. But I try really hard not to bash them because it's like, oh God, there's so few of us.
Right.
I feel like we do have more of a responsibility to stick together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're totally not, you don't agree. I don't know.
I understand.
You're saying that there was a time where a woman cut down another woman.
It's been known to happen every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, I feel for you. That was in a very uncomfortable situation. I really did feel for you there. So,
Maybe this is another one of those situations that I'm making gay that isn't gay.
Yeah, get the gay out of there.
Yeah.
She just had something nasty to say, and you told her, you smeared her with Jewy shame, and you move on. You guys are going to be BFFs.
Which is made by Philadelphia cream cheese, by the way. That's like a product that they sell probably at Urban Outfitters. But yes, that is a product, a smear.
Of Jewish shame.
This is like one more thing. I should wish everyone, you know, I hope everyone had a great Jewish New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Happy New Year.
A few weeks later, we had Yom Kippur, where you get to atone. And as I said on Facebook, my mother always asks if I need an extra day to atone. She could ask the rabbi to comp me an extra day should I need it. How would you go about describing my mother from your brief interaction?
Well, to start off that conversation... are on the way to the grocery store, and he calls his mom. I immediately have, I've loved her just overhearing the conversations that they've had on the phone since I've moved into this house. So I was pretty excited for this phone call. So he puts it on speaker so that I can hear their interaction with her. And the first thing he says to me is, if she asks you, I fasted and went to temple. So I know that your mom's a pill. She's just a pill. Keeping you in line.
Is there a phrase that you would like to steal from my mother? I know you have a favorite already.
Oh, I've got a favorite for sure. So Ken's in our home watching The Voice.
As I naturally would.
His mother is in New Jersey watching The Voice, and they're discussing it over the phone. And what did she said, Pharrell Williams can put his slippers under my bed any day.
Any day of the week.
Which was not a phrase I'd ever heard before, and it has one, it's one I've used so many times since then.
Oh, yeah. Well, it started with Adam Levine, because we do like the Adam Levine.
Yeah.
And as I have said to past guests on the show, so I don't know if you know this, I only came out recently to my parents as a person living with tattoos.
She didn't know. Ken, you're everywhere. How did she not know?
I have been out of the closet with the whole gay thing. And by the way, gay people, you should support each other. But I've been out of the closet for the gay thing for 17 years now. Mm-hmm. It's only been about a year since I've been out of the closet. You're looking at my arms.
I have. Did you ever see your parents in July?
No. Well, yes, I did. But I always felt that there was a chill in the air and thus needed to wear long sleeves.
Ooh, need a little something.
People are like, oh, don't you go swimming with your parents? Do you go swimming with your parents? I feel like you do.
Well, no, we haven't been on a beach vacation in a while, but when we do, my dad is a natural body surfer. It's the cutest thing in the world. Oh. He'll get in the waves and just, like, roll around like a little polar bear. It's adorable.
Love it.
Yeah,
so I recently came out as having tattoos, and initially, my mom had some hesitation and some resistance. Mm. Let me just say, the reason that I don't come out, the reason it took so long is because I make my own decisions. Like, I'm totally fine making my own decisions, and obviously, as I look at my own arms.
Is it a fear of judgment thing?
It's because I respect them so much that it's not that much sweat off my back to cover my arms when I'm home.
Sure.
So because I know that they are pretty darn Jewish, and it's not something that they might not support it, it's no sweat off my back to make my own decisions, get tattoos, but still wear long sleeves.
And
like,
it would
that
make
just
them
doesn't
that
bother
uncomfortable
me.
To like know that about you.
And I don't ever want to make them uncomfortable. And so I kind of respect them that much that's a small sacrifice.
So how did that go when they found out?
So they were okay with it. My mom, my dad and I haven't really talked about it. But my mom said, you know what? Adam Levine has them. So I have been waiting.
So we have that standard.
Yes. I have had tattoos since I was 18. I am now 37. And so I apparently have been waiting for the voice. That's what I have
Adam
been
Levine
waiting for.
Adam Levine was learning to ride a bike when you were getting your first tattoo.
Adam Levine, who went to French Woods sleepaway camp with my friend Carly Adler. We love that Adam Levine and his Jewish New Jersey ways to him. But yeah, so apparently what I have been so nervous about and what I've been waiting for all these years is for Adam Levine to put his slippers under my mother's bed any day of the week because he's a nice Jewish boy with all of those tattoos.
Well, he can put his under mine, too.
They're, right?
That's why your mom and I are new friends.
He's quite pretty.
He's a lovely man to look at.
He is a lovely man to work. Tattoos are okay in your line of work.
Oh, 100%.
Those chefs. Some of those chefs.
Yes. Yeah, you get the butcher knives on the forearms, and you got the pig on the shoulder. And, yeah, I mean, all of the – you want a pig tattooed on your body, right? Isn't that a very Jewish thing to do?
I love you, Mom, if you're listening, which I actually know that you're not. But, no, I don't – do I have any animals? I have some mythical creatures.
Yeah,
but
you have very, very cool, interesting tattoos with stories. Which
stories.
Is a tattoo should
stories
have.
That I've made up all the time.
No,
so,
I like it.
Hey, if you guys have cool gay tattoos, send us an email.
Yeah.
Some people have human rights campaign. My friend Todd, I'm totally outing him, has a human rights campaign logo on him. That one I wouldn't do. I respect that he did it, but that one makes me a little bit nervous.
Why is that?
I think just because it's an organization that could go away at any minute.
Absolutely.
So, like, I mean, I love the human rights campaign, and you guys over there at HRC are doing a great job. You're doing a great job. All right, now our tattoo segment is now over. We're going to take another musical break, and then we're going to come right back. All right, folks, and we are back yet again. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How do your parents feel about you doing this show?
My mom gets a absolute giggle out of it. I told her, I just talked to her on the phone, and I told her, I was like, so we're doing our little weekly segment. And she's just like tickled pink. She loves it.
This is not just a weekly segment. You got the whole darn episode this week.
I know.
That's a lot.
I know.
That's a lot. But let me just remind you, if you come back for the third time, that's when you get on the website.
Oh, my gosh.
We put a little picture of you rolling out dough. We put a link to what should people link to, because we're not above shameless self-promotion. What site do you want people to go to?
SaveRoomCLE.com. SaveRoomCleveland.com.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I recently learned that's a play off of the phrase save room for dessert.
Yes, it is. Save room. There's also, I was trying to think of a name for the business, and I remember I was sitting in a restaurant, and the server at the end of the meal said, "Did you guys save room for dessert?" And I was like, "Dang!
There it is!
There it is!
There it is!" Can we get your mom to come over one Wednesday night, and she'll be on the show?
Oh my gosh, she would love that.
Are there any gay Ritter spotches?
Yeah, her brother, my Uncle Steve.
Look, Uncle Steve. Uncle That's Steve. Such a cliche. That's really his name.
It's really his name, Uncle Steve. Yeah, he's a total fox. He's in the modeling industry.
Wow, wait
if
a second.
If you remember, now I need you to...
Wait a second.
Have you met Uncle Steve yet? You
haven't
met him
yet. No, I haven't met Uncle Steve, but is he a fox and he's single?
He is a fox and single. He's living in Manhattan right now. But I know, so far. So close, so far. No, I need you to dial it back a few years. Think about Old Navy commercials. Remember how frequent those were? They were all over the place. And there was one where they were advertising like rugby style shirts and the stripes, the collared shirts, whatever. And they were the rugby bunch. So the entire commercial was kind of like set up like a Brady Bunch intro where they were all in the squares. Uncle Steve.
I feel like I do remember that.
He played Mr. Brady.
Oh.
He did that with him with Florence Henderson. Is that her? No, that was the original. I forget the lady's name.
Yeah.
But, and then if you walk down any drugstore aisle right now.
Florence Henderson, that's the original Mrs. Brady.
I know, but I forget who played her in the commercial.
Oh, okay.
It was another kind of like blonde bombshell, gotcha. You know, whatever. But no, any drugstore, look for the Just for Men boxes of hair color. He is ash brown. That photo was taken about 25 years ago. But
it's like a metaphor, but I don't really know for what. But it's so funny because that's one of my favorite lines from Steel Magnolias is that all gay men have track lighting and all gay men are named Rick or Steve.
Rick or Steve. Yep.
Love it.
Uncle Steve.
Love it.
He's a sweetheart.
When did he come out? We should get him on the phone.
Wow, we should. Oh my gosh, that'd be wonderful.
Oh, so your mom would have a blast doing the show.
She would love it. She would absolutely love it. Yeah.
But none of the Ritter Spotch children. All straights.
Yeah, the kids are all straight. We're all single, but straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. There's one for all of your tastes, folks. We will detail them on the website. All right, so fun stuff. There's all this. There is news, I swear, that doesn't have anything to do with marriage equality or my angst over colleagues sending me emails. So fun stuff, Louisiana State University this fall is offering for the first time an LGBTQ minor to students.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We love it. This program includes classes such as Introduction to LGBTQ Studies, Social Work with Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender People, and a course called Evolution of Sex and Gender.
Wow.
Love it.
I'd take that.
Where's their course called This Course is So Gay, like the one I'm teaching?
maybe they'll play some segments in class.
That would be okay. Yeah, no, we're having a lot of fun there in the This Course is So Gay.
Yeah.
This week we're talking all about the ban on blood donation. They have a debate tomorrow. Some of them have to fight for the ban on blood donation.
Wow.
Which they're really upset about, which is cute. They think that there's no argument. But guys, there's been a ban on blood donation for so freaking long. I promise you there's an argument for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, obviously it wouldn't be withheld.
I have written another Huffington Post piece on the ban on blood donation. I have yet again gotten many, many angry emails from people saying that I'm advocating for contaminating the blood supply.
Yep, let's just spread AIDS around, obviously.
It's a whole different type of schmear. Yes, it's a whole different. And that would be the point where the show just lost all its tact. But there are other news stories out there. So that's cool, LGBTQ minor.
That's very, very
cool. I love
it. I like that.
Now, this one's, we have depressing stories.
Well, there's always them.
There's always them. Tanisha Price is a 15-year-old black student who identifies as queer. She says she has been suspended from school more times than she can count. This is a quote that she gave to the Huffington Post. She said, quote, "I feel like the school district that I'm in, they don't know how to handle everything that comes with the non-gender conforming or the kids that are minorities. They just know how to get rid of us," end quote. Research that has just been released now shows that over 80% of LGBTQ students were verbally harassed at school over their sexual orientation. So that's research that they're constantly updating over there over at GLSEN, which is our favorite organization, GLSEN.org. Now, another report that just came out from the Office of Civil Rights shows that black and Hispanic students are suspended from school at substantially higher rates than their white peers. Mm. So two issue briefs that were released today expand on these problems, which demonstrate how issues surrounding school discipline uniquely impact LGBTQ and gender nonconforming youth of color. The groups began, this is crazy stuff, right? The groups, The groups began conducting their research in early 2012 through a series of surveys and focus groups, finding that LGBTQ and gender nonconforming youth of color reported often feeling singled out by the school authorities and feeling blamed when they spoke up about bullying. The term gender nonconforming youth can include any student who does not conform to stereotypical expectations of what it means to look like a male or a female. So this is what the report said, quote, "Our research shows that LGBTQ youth of color in particular face persistent and frequent harassment and bias-based bullying from peers and school staff, as well as increased surveillance and policing, relatively greater incidents of harsh school discipline, and consistent blame for their own victimization."
That is absolutely a tragedy.
Crazy.
That is a tragedy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Tanisha Price went on to say, quote, "I was a plus-size, big African-American girl, and I did not fit that female look. It wasn't shirts and dresses. It was hoodies. And then instead of my school trying to figure out things from my point of view, it was them trying to figure out things from the white person's point of view. Their solution was just to get rid of me and have me at school for less days."
I wonder what the what were the suspensions for?
Yeah. Well, you know, I suspect they just came up with reasons.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Well, it goes on to say a little bit more on what you're saying right there. The report notes that these harsh disciplinary practices contribute to the school-to-prison pipeline for LGBTQ students of color. It states that while LGBTQ students only make up 6% of the general population, they constitute 15% of the population in juvenile detention.
Wow.
That's a lot more.
That's
way more than double. Mm-hmm. And while only 16% of students enrolled in school are Black, data from the Office of Civil Rights show that 31% of those subjected to school-related arrests were Black.
Hmm.
That would be double from 16 by math right there.
Wow.
What did your school do? Give a shout-out to your high school.
Medina High School, the Bees.
Really, the Bees?
Yeah, the Medina Bees. Yeah.
Was there a mascot like the bee?
It was a bee, yeah.
Did he have a name? Bob the Bee?
No, he was just the bee.
Okay.
It was just the bee.
All right.
Yeah.
Go sing the competition? What was there a line?
You know, I was so low on school pep. I think I just kind of floated through, and if there was a tagline or a name.
Well, like a butterfly.
I got on out of that bee
sing
situation.
Like a bee.
Right?
Okay. Now, were there out, because you're a little bit younger than I am. Mm-hmm. You're a lot younger than I am. I never know what to say. So, let's say a lot. did you have out gay kids in high school?
You know, we did.
Who came out?
I can think of one or two at the most.
Yeah.
And then other kids where, you know, but I don't know that there was necessarily a comfort level for them. I feel like we had our staff was wonderful in Medina. We've got a great school system, and the staff really is wonderful and very accepting and accommodating. So I don't feel like in that case it was a fear of staff. But I do feel like it's got to be hard for any kid.
Yeah.
To be different in any way, but to come out, I think at that age is very, very, very difficult.
And then
I commend any kids that do.
I wish I had been out in high school.
But that's so hard. That is so hard.
But I got all the crap anyway without being out.
So I would have just all like a relief to just be like, all right, fine. This is me. This is what I am.
And to be out in high school in 1995 was a much bigger deal, or a different deal. I shouldn't say bigger than it is now.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was getting all that crap anyway because I was the well-dressed kid. I think I'm still convinced that we had our own J. Crew truck. Like there was a UPS truck that the only purpose of that UPS truck was to deliver J. Crew clothing to 58 Valley View Terrace in New Jersey. Now it's Banana Republic. And as we know, I get some good Banana Republic deals.
You stock up.
But anyway, so I was the well-dressed kid, always wearing the J. Crew. J. Crew used to be different. Right now, I feel like it's very nautical. When I go into J. Crew, it feels
very
nautical.
Very East Coast,
yeah,
isn't it?
I don't
yeah,
like it.
It's very Hamptons.
Very Hamptons, very Martha's Vineyard, not my thing. So well-dressed kid who played tennis in football town, who sat with the girls at lunch.
Yeah.
So my car sure as hell got spit on.
Yeah.
I sure as heck was called faggot any number of times.
Right.
And so I got all of the crap with none of the benefits.
Sure. Do you feel like in looking back and in retrospect, do you feel like just owning it and saying it so that there was no mystery for the bullies, do you think that that would have increase the problem or deflected it because there wasn't really anything for them to harass anymore. There was no mystery. There was no wondering. I wonder if he's gay. I wonder if he's this or that.
Yeah.
You know
context
how kids
is
are?
Huge. Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. Context is huge. So I don't know. I think that maybe now that would be different if I said, yeah, I'm gay. And it wouldn't be this mystery thing. Back then, if I had said, yes, I'm gay, I would have been the only out gay kid in my entire high school.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that would have helped. And this is the tricky piece. If you go to anyone from my high school and say, Ken Schneck is gay, there's not a single person who would say, yeah, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were basing it on all stereotypes.
Sure.
At no point during my high school experience did I express same-sex attractions publicly.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't take someone to the prom. Did I do anything that, I mean, I didn't have a lot of a social life because I didn't want to be outed, which is crazy because I was getting all the crap for being outed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of my regrets. I regret not being out, but I think that there's some revisionist history of what that would have been like.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe, how would it have been worse? No, I am thinking of how it would have been worse.
Yeah.
I feel like the locker room would have been even worse.
I think
at that time, in 1995, there would have been parents getting involved and saying, we don't want him in this locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
Which still happens.
Sure, sure.
I actually got a call from, I don't know if we talked about this, I got a call from a principal of a local school district here. This is a little bit different. We're not talking about sexual orientation, but gender identity. Who, and I'm curious your take on this. So I guess, you know, I'm out there publicly as being in this area, and I don't have the right word for it. Notable seems really egotistical, but a known gay who talks about the news and certainly works on educational policy around LGBT issues. For that, I am notable. And so he got in touch with me because he had heard about me. And at this high school, they have a student transferring in as a junior, female to male.
Mm-hmm.
So assigned female biologically at birth, has transitioned to male pre-operative. So certainly has evidence of what we would consider popularly to be female genitalia.
Yeah.
So the mother got in touch with the school district before the school year started and said, listen, I would like to know that she is going to be treated as male.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be on the male sports teams. She wants to dress in the male locker rooms. What do you do? This is a school that does not have separate changing facilities. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
we often talk about bathrooms, and I regret enormously that half the time when we're talking about trans identity, we end up just talking about bathrooms when, in fact, there are so many other issues on the table.
Sure.
But in this instance, bathrooms are kind of a big deal. There are no single changing rooms in the locker room.
Yeah.
You're the principal.
Yeah.
Principal Becca.
That is such a tricky situation. I certainly, from my own personal perspective, say whatever that person identifies with, that is the way that this will be handled. It is such a, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, relatively new thing,
right?
That people are dealing with out in the public. So,
would you put someone who presents biologically as female in a male high school locker room?
If they have transitioned and they mentally identify with male, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's more detrimental for others. I think that the more that everyone is exposed to differences in gender identification, the easier this will come as acceptance. I used to work in the special needs field, and I was always so opposed to separate classrooms for the special needs kids. It made them seem really different.
Mm-hmm.
The other kids were, you know, there was the special needs room and you walked by it. You didn't really know who was in there or what their condition was or what they were capable of or their senses of humor. But when you have these inclusive classrooms where the kids are used to it, all of a sudden they're not so different.
Right.
And they're exposed to it. And then it's normal. It's very, very normal. So
the separate piece doesn't work.
The separate piece does not work.
Someone disagree with you. I'm not one of them. I probably might do, I don't know. I'm backtracking off that. I was going to say maybe I would do some sort of educational program, but I don't want to single out this student.
And focus on it, right?
Yeah, so I want to be careful about that. But I certainly, as a school administrator, my mind goes towards safety, and I get a little bit worried about the safety piece.
I feel like as a principal, I would make the staff very aware of the situation and coach them in a way that they were not pacing back and forth, monitoring, making people uncomfortable and know. But I feel like for staff to be in the background watching very closely. And if there were certain students or other staff members that were having a problem with dealing with it, then you pull them aside separately and coach them individually.
Now, interesting piece about the safety piece, and my gosh, is there a double standard going on? So if you have a student who is female to male in a locker room, the concern for safety is often towards that student. But if you have a male to female in a women's locker room, the concern for safety is over all the rest of the women.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
There's something there, right?
Well, I see where you're going with that. I mean, traditionally, and this is certainly not every example, but I would certainly say the majority of, you know, when you hear about sexual aggression against women and, you know, it's certainly coming from other men. So I can see where that would possibly invoke a fear.
But let me just also pause there. I also get frustrated when we talk about sexual violence largely against women, and there are those who dominate the conversation say, oh, but it could happen to men too. Yes.
Yeah.
It can absolutely, without question, happen to men. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about percentages.
Percentages, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Right, exactly. But again, if you keep people educated and exposed to, if this person is identifying as a female and they're in the female locker room, the genitalia doesn't really matter. I mean, that's completely off the table. So it's just a matter of exposure, interaction, education, and making it the norm, you know?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I want to return to this story just so I can get you the name, because I feel like you should know your peers. It's in Oregon. I say Oregon.
It's Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. Any Oregonian would tell you it's Oregon.
Okay. I just lost so many Oregonian listeners. But it's in a bakery in Oregon. See, I can change. They're the ones that say that they're facing a fine up to $150,000, which could reportedly leave them bankrupt. They were speaking at the Conservative Values Voter Summit in D.C., and the name of the company is Sweet Cakes by Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that name. I feel there's a sexual aspect to it, and I don't enjoy it.
Sweet Cakes.
Isn't that a cat call?
Oh, kind of like a cat call. Hey, sweet cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not where my mind went, but...
Oh, yeah, let's not even deconstruct why my mind went there. I'm a little bit nervous about that now. So the owners are Aaron and Melissa Klein. They told the Daily Signal that such a fine would definitely be enough to bankrupt the couple and their five children. And so,
yes. Who is fining them for calling their business sugar cakes?
No, that's not why they're being fined. They're being fined because
I
love your story. Your story is way better than mine. Mine is this is the bakery that refused to make the cakes for the lesbians.
I see. Okay.
I just wanted to get their name out there.
Okay,
so
I
just want to put that out there. They said that they are going to appeal the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industry's decision, which had it proved that there was substantial evidence that the Kleins had violated a lesbian couple's civil rights by refusing to make the cake.
Hmm.
So, yeah. But thankfully, they said, quote, we have the Lord, and so he's been keeping us strong.
Well, they've got that.
I am not. Let me be very clear and pause. I am all for faith. I am laughing right now just because, well, you know, I was going to say, because the Lord's probably not going to fork you over $150,000.
Yeah,
but at the same time, if you put that appeal out there, I have no doubt that if they create, not that I'm giving them the idea because I'm sure they've had it, if they create one of those GoFundMe campaigns, they will get this $150,000.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
In a heartbeat.
Right.
So there's that. All right. We are taking one last break and we're going to come back and wrap up the show. All right, folks, and we are back with reminders that this is not a live show, but you don't get to hear the things that we edit out, but they were funny. Used to be a live show.
I can only imagine.
Wednesday
the fun
nights.
You had.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. on WVEWLP, Brattleboro Community Radio, right there in Brattleboro, Vermont. We are still broadcasting.
Can we get a blooper reel of that?
Holy cow. You can actually go to thisshowisokay.com and you can hear every episode we have ever done. This is episode number 279. You can go all the way back to episode 1. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not good.
Are we going to have a party for number 300?
I'm debating what to do for 300. I did do for 250. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, 300, I just wanted to get to episode like 40. What the hell are we still doing this show? I mean, it's the craziest thing. I have gone through more co-hosts than marriages, although it's coming pretty close at this point. But yeah, no, it's really fun. But yeah, 9 to 10 p.m. on Wednesday nights, Brattleboro, Vermont, with Becca. Becca and I did the first 90-something shows there. And yeah, live was crazy. Live was crazy. It was in the Brooks house.
Only imagine.
Yeah, WVEW was located in the Brooks house, and then the Brooks house burned down.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the craziest thing. It was the craziest thing. And then it was really nice. Because
disgruntled radio hosts, perhaps?
You know, I don't know that they ever figured out why the Brooks house burnt down. It
I
was
just
a definitely
you of
old
arson,
house.
And you just breathed
yeah,
right over it.
Yeah, because I wanted to move past that, because it wasn't me. It was probably Becca. Just put that out there. She doesn't listen anymore. And then another shout out, which I'm always happy to do, WKVT gave us a temporary home, which was the sweetest thing. Steve, who doesn't do his morning show anymore on WKVT, gave us a temporary home, and he co-hosted a couple episodes. Just one of my favorite people on this whole planet, Steve West. And you can go back and listen to episodes that Steve and his lovely partner, Jen, were on. It was so great.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, no, it used to be live. It was, oh, man, there were problems. We had some nights where it was like, why am I still doing this
show? And here
show?
You are at 279.
And here we are at 279. All right, so we have to get to the last story of the week. And it's the one I was putting off both because it's kind of contentious and also because I forgot about it and you had to remind me. So let's just put it out there. It is an Ohio story, kind
yeah.
of.
Mm-hmm.
An Ohio woman, I know you guys heard about this, an Ohio woman has sued a Chicago area sperm bank after she became pregnant with sperm donated by a black man instead of a white man, as she intended. Even Jack the cat just ran over for this one. She's like, no, I got stuff to say. Jennifer Cramblett was 5 months pregnant and happy with her life in April 2002. Which leads us to believe that the next line in the story is that that's going to change for her.
Chapter two.
She and her lesbian partner had married months earlier in New York, and within 5 days of their nuptials. Within days of their nuptials. Let's just say five.
Rewrite history.
Yeah, she became pregnant with donor sperm at a fertility clinic in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
Cramblett, who is 36, and her partner, Amanda Zinkon, who is 29, they were so elated that they called the Midwest Sperm Bank, LLC, outside Chicago to reserve sperm from the same donor in the hope that Zinkon would someday also have a child.
Mm-hmm.
But Becca, that's when Cramblett received some disturbing news. Now, that should be in quotes right there. I have a problem, and we should cite our sources. This is being reported to us by CBC News.
Right.
I feel that's bad reporting.
I also feel that as well. Yeah.
You have editorialized CBC News.
Injecting some emotion of your own there.
Now, for Cramblett, I'm sure it was disturbing. It's disturbing for the rest of us that it was disturbing to Cramblett. She received, quote, disturbing news, I'm quoting it, says a lawsuit filed this week against Midwest Sperm Bank in Cook County, Illinois. She learned from an employee at the sperm bank that she had been inseminated with sperm from number 330, infamous 330, a black donor, and not number 380, a white donor. They are both white. They had chosen number 380, the white donor. Now here are some quotes from Cramblett. Quote, how could they make a mistake that was so personal? They took a personal choice, a personal decision, and took it on themselves to make that choice for us out of pure negligence.
Mm-hmm.
According to the lawsuit, her excitement about the pending birth was replaced with, quote, anger, disappointment. Okay, so if we stopped right there, what if I just stopped the story right there? Did you see the next word?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
So she's got anger.
Uh-huh.
I get it. You feel, like, I get it. I'm not supporting what she's saying,
sure.
But I get it on that she feels misled. I think it's crazy.
Sure.
And then disappointment. Okay.
Yeah.
That I have a problem
that
with.
That I have a problem with as well.
Word number three. Do you have a guess?
I don't.
Fear.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cramblett says that she and Zinkon love their 2-year-old daughter, Peyton. I also have a problem that the name of the daughter is in the news. how does this daughter not grow up and, like, you know that this is what her mommy thinks?
Right. Her image, her name, everything. Right.
But they are concerned about raising her in the predominantly white community where they live. The lawsuit said that they moved from Akron to Uniontown. Where's Uniontown? I don't know where that is.
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. For better schools and to be closer to the Kramblitz family. She said that as a lesbian, she has felt the sting of prejudice, but doesn't know what it's like to be mistreated because of her skin color. Okay. The lawsuit says that Kramblitz also is worried about how Peyton will be treated in her all-white and often unconsciously insensitive family.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Part of your lawsuit is how your daughter's going to be treated in your family?
Yeah, that needs to be completely out
of
the paperwork.
Holy cow!
Right, yeah.
Oh my God, I want to get gay Uncle Steve on this story. Therapists have recommended that Kramblitz, Zinkon, and Peyton move to a more racially diverse community with good schools, the lawsuit said. What the hell therapist do you have? I got to finish out this story because it keeps going. Kramblitz said that she decided to sue to prevent the sperm bank from making the same mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
Mistake.
Yeah.
The lawsuit says the sperm bank has no electronic record keeping and no quality controls that would have prevented it from sending the wrong sperm to fertility clinics. The lawsuit seeks a minimum, because we have to quantify this, of course, Becca, for mm-hmm. her disappointment, fear, what was the other one? Anger.
Yes.
A minimum of $50,000 in damages. Kramblitz attorney Tim Misney said some of the compensation would pay for ongoing counseling.
Hey, he's the guy from the commercials.
Tim Misney.
Yeah. I didn't think.
No
yeah,
idea.
I know. Anyway, getting off track. This is such a difficult...
What's your problem with this story, Becca?
It's such a difficult story to delve into because there are so many social sensitivities at hand here. I don't like the way that she's handled this so publicly. I feel like if she had...
Which, can I pause there? You got to think that she definitely is making this a public thing.
Very much so.
Yeah, okay.
Very, very much so, for sure. And I don't think that I like that. I did see, you know, her daughter on the Today Show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Oh, I have a problem with that.
I have a very big problem with it. It's going to, I would assume, cause some distress when this
I'm
child
sorry.
Gets
Let
older.
Let me just go back for a second. How do you not see her daughter hear this story and not automatically see the caption that I feel like the mom is providing that says Peyton, too? Comma, mistake.
Yeah, I know. It's really, and she has said, this isn't about race. This is not about race. We love our daughter. I feel like if the focus was more on leaving the race card completely out of this and just focusing on the fact that I do feel like insemination candidates do have the right to choose their donor.
Absolutely.
And
we did not get the donor we wanted.
I think that the focus needs to be on how do we make the system better within this hospital so that it's not handwritten, so that this does not happen again. And if the race thing was completely left out of this, it would not even be – I wouldn't have an issue with it at all.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way that it seems like they're disappointed in the race of a baby that they got, and she's a beautiful little girl, and I'm sure she's lovely. And I don't like the way it's being handled. I understand the frustration on their part, but I don't like the way it's being handled.
This story fills me with anger, disappointment, and a little bit of fear. It does.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
Which of course is to prove we can be critical of other people in the gay community.
Sure.
Not so into this woman right now.
Yeah. No, I completely hear you.
And by the way, I was looking this up because they spelled color with a U, which leads me to believe this is, you know, this made its way all the way to the Canadian press.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't like
it. I think
it.
It's a big story.
We're not having her on the show. That was it. That was our...
I tried to pick up Jack.
Or was that his nails?
My bucket.
Oh, okay. I can edit that part out. And that, Becca, is it. That was like a full hour. Do you understand that was a full hour of LGBT news? We did it.
We
can cover.
Absolutely no guarantees I'm coming back next week. Third time may not be a charm. No, I'm kidding. I love this.
6110 sitting in the dark in the attic. It's gotten dark since we started. All right, folks. Billy Myers will be on the show next week. I am promising it here and now. And Becca will be back to cover a shorter version of the news. We will not put her through a 60-minute paces again. So you guys, you guys know what to do. You guys, everybody who's listening, get out there. Go use your voice the way you know how to use it to raise up the voices of your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. We have absolutely no idea what it is that you do best. You know what it is. Whether it is hosting a podcast in an attic, whether it is baking white sheet cakes for the KKK, whatever it is that you do to lift up your voices to lift up the voices of your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. Get out there and do it. And of course, while you're out there making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?